Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to budding playwright Jere Brion Holder about his new Alliance Theater production, Too Heavy for Your Pocket. Celebrity chef Juan Montier of Shea Montier has some suggestions just in time for Valentine's Day. Married to Medicine stars Dr. Courtney and Janice Shelton give us the 411 on their new WCLK radio show, The Checkup. And celebrity hairstylist and author Miko Branch is in the studio to chat about the paperback release of her book, Miss Jessie's, Creating a Successful Business from Scratch Naturally. We also dish about iconic African-American hairstyles and more. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for young men and women to portray dancers for an upcoming episode of Star. The actors must be between the ages of 18 through 25 and must own their own dance clothing attire. There is also a role available for a choreographer between the ages of 27 through 35 and a featured role for man or woman with nursing experience. Shooting will take place on Thursday, February 16th. Please email pics, name, age, phone number, and city location to star@centralcasting.com. Please put the role you are submitting for in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, the NAACP Image Awards will air tonight on TV One. The show is hosted by Blackish star Anthony Anderson and begins at 7:30 p.m. with a red carpet, followed by the awards ceremony beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Music's Big Night airs tomorrow night on CBS. It's the 59th annual Grammy Awards and will be hosted by Jimmy Kimmel and featuring musical tributes to Prince and George Michael. There will also be performances by Alicia Keys, John Legend, Adele, Andra Day, Bruno Mars, and A Tribe Called Quest. Festivities begin at 8 p.m. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest, and everybody knows about Mississippi. Goddamn! Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest, and everybody knows about Mississippi. Goddamn!
You're listening to member-supported Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's jazz station, and now the home for in-depth arts and entertainment. Now, back to Upfront with your host, Ray Cornelius.
The Alliance Theater has a new play on its Hertz stage titled Too Heavy for Your Pocket. The Black History Month production follows a 1960s youth who forgoes his scholarship to Fisk University to join the Civil Rights Freedom Riders. The play was written by Morehouse College alum and former Kenny Leon fellow Jere Brion Holder. Upfront caught up with the rising playwright to talk about the inspiration behind his amazing story.
I was watching The Butler and I was watching Selma, and I was really interested in kind of our origin story of the civil rights movement. And I was asking my grandmother about it. She's from Nashville, which is where the first sit-ins were. And I asked her about the Freedom Rides, and she said to me, yeah, I knew one of those Freedom Riders. He threw his education away to hop on a bus. And I was really gobsmacked. I couldn't believe she said that or felt that way, but that's how she remembered it. That's how she remembered that moment, is that this young man had a college opportunity for a college education and decided to join this protest that could have ended his life.
Right.
And I dug in. I was like, tell me more. And I found out that she was married with two kids at that point and really working on some tangible ways to make her life better. And she couldn't figure out how his name is Rip hopping on a bus was making anything better.
Now, were her and Rip in a relationship?
They were friends. Okay. No, they were. Okay. They went to church together.
Okay.
And so I was really interested in what that meant. What the difference between the big sacrifices that we make, you know, marching on the street and blocking a freeway versus the tiny sacrifices we make, such as raising your children and getting a college education.
Holder is the winner of the Alliance Theater's Candida National Graduate Playwriting Competition, a development program to help playwrights bridge the gap between being a student and becoming a professional, and focuses on those writers from the nation's top MFA programs. It is also the same program that helped launch the career of Moonlight writer and Oscar nominee Terrell Alvin McCraney. Here's what Holder had to say about following in the footsteps of his friend and mentor.
Terrell is a friend of mine now, and is someone who really inspired me to be a playwright. I really believed that plays were written by dead white men, most of whom weren't from America. And then I saw The Red and Brown Water, and I went to see the Brother Sister trilogy, and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm on stage. Like, there's stories about me, about my world, about people who talk like me, people who like the same music as me. And to see Terrell's career and to in some way follow in his footsteps, or at least climb on the shoulders of his giant shoulders, right. It does give me hope. And, you know, let's hope that he gets that Oscar. Let's hope that the world really understands that stories like Moonlight are valuable, that stories like Too Heavy for Your Pocket are valuable, particularly in the world that we live in today.
Wow.
Even more so than 2016 when I wrote it.
Holder and I also talked about the takeaway message of the play and what he hopes other millennials will glean from it.
I think of the civil rights movement as our origin story for millennials. That in the same way that slavery was the origin story for those who participate in the civil rights movement, I think the civil rights movement is the origin story for us. And I think for all millennials, not just black ones. And so for us to really figure out what to do today, how to fight for the things that we believe in, how to make the world a better place, I hope that we really dig into that moment. And I think that the moment is much more complex than some fancy preachers did some marching. You know, it's more complex than that. In fact, some normal average Joes made some big sacrifices in the way that you can make a big sacrifice and I can make a big sacrifice.
Too Heavy for Your Pocket is currently running through February 26th and will head to New York City's Roundabout Theater Company in October. Go to WCLK.com to hear the rest of our interview and find out how you can win tickets to the show.
What's up? It's Rob Hardy, director of that new show, The Quad, on BET, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
Valentine's Day is right around the corner, and it's time to pull out all the stops for that special someone. Here to help us do so is celebrity chef Juan Montier of Chez Montier. From the stove to the table, he's here to give us all the details on a menu that is sure to get you a lot of hugs and kisses.
For Valentine's Day, I know that, well, my mom had the dishes, the china, the fine china in the cabinet all year long. Now is the time to bring it out and put on the dog.
Yeah.
Go for it. That just sets the pace for the evening. When your other walks in and the china is glistening and the zing of crystal is out, that's a cue for something special going on.
Yeah.
And then continue that vein. Go way over the top. Buy a fabulous bottle of champagne. You cannot go wrong. I'm trying not to bang my hands on the desk like I was instructed not to, but you cannot go wrong. Spend the energy, you know, let them know that they're special by doing that.
Yeah.
And you can't go wrong with that. And then if you're on a budget, get the fattest shrimp, the three fattest ones, the colossals that you can find, or if you're not on a budget, go on out there and get a big old fat lobster tail and treat them that way.
Now, let me ask you, would you find that seafood is a little sexier for Valentine's Day, or should you do chicken, or should you do beef? What's a really good...
You can do anything that thrills the person that you're cooking for. How about that?
Okay.
But I like the shellfish because you usually eat it with your hands, and there's some oil or butter involved, and it's dripping down your face. Come on. Let me get that for you, honey.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'll bring it down a little bit.
But I never thought of that.
And then finish it with, you gotta do chocolate. But I have to tell you guys, you're not doing yourselves a favor by getting those boxes of chocolate that are shaped like hearts.
Okay.
Do some research. Find an exquisite chocolate. Doesn't really have to be much. And serve that. And if you're inclined to cook, melt it and cover something. The tips of your fingers, strawberries, pound cake. You can even buy that from the store.
Right.
And you will have something special that will make them clap and squeal. Yeah. And isn't that our objective?
Thank you, Shea Montier. And we'll hear more from him. But first, Married to Medicine stars Dr. Courtney and Janice Shelton are hosts of a brand new radio program on WCLK titled The Checkup. And yours truly caught up with the couple to talk about what fans can expect. We also chatted about how they're able to stay on top of their very busy schedules.
What's so good about our show, I think, is we're the ability to use our experience in the medical field and talk about a lot of the issues in healthcare. Often at your doctor's office, there's never time to talk. Your visits have become like a factory. Mm-hmm. And the one part of that doctor-patient relationship that is missing from medicine is the educational part.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to do. I really want to focus on teaching, educating, and all about all the different things in medicine.
Now, you guys have a very, very busy schedule. I have to ask, how are you able to keep all of that together? Because, again, you've got the television show, and now you're venturing into radio. So how do you all keep that together, plus the marriage?
It takes a village. It takes a village to really, for we have so many moving parts. The medical practice, part of the medical practice, we do research. We have this radio show, the TV show. We have real estate. My wife has real estate business. There are a lot of moving parts, and not to mention we have 6 children from our oldest will be 18 on the 12th of this month, but
okay.
18 preparing for college, all the way down to 4-year-old where we're still dealing with timeouts and all that thing. So it takes everything.
For me, the way I get through it's called Hennessy and a Prayer. Okay? That is the name of our book that we are working on. We are going to be birthing that book pretty soon. And when people ask me that question, like, oh my God, Janice, how do you guys do it? I'm serious. It's called Hennessy and a Prayer.
Yeah.
You know, you definitely have to make sure you stay in the right mindset. You know, have to be extremely disciplined and have time management. And then at the same time, at the end of the day, making sure that you find time for your spouse. Because you know that's the foundation.
That's true. That's the foundation.
Calm down. Jesus. So making sure that that's together. But the power of a blended family is what the book that we're working on now called Hennessy and a Prayer. Believe it or not.
Thank you, Dr. Courtney and Janice Shelton. And make sure you listen to their show, The Checkup, every other Saturday morning at 7:30 a.m. on WCLK. Hey, Upfront listeners, I have tickets to some of the hottest shows and happenings coming to the ATL. The Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater returns to the Fabulous Fox this week, February 15th through the 19th. Make sure you go to WCLK.com to find out how you can win tickets. Also, check out my online exclusive interview with Ailey choreographer Kyle Abraham as we chat about his new work, Untitled America. Now back to Upfront. The Academy Awards are just 2 weeks away, and a record number of African-American films, actors, and behind-the-lens superstars are up for awards. Here to offer a few more suggestions for your Oscar party is Shay Montier. He's got a few more tips to have your partygoers giving you a standing ovation.
Well, the Oscar party, it's the penultimate award, it's the penultimate time. This is another time to go ahead and have some fun. Except on the loving scale, you want to shift it on the onto the sexy side of the scale.
Yeah.
You know, sexy is good for Valentine's Day too. Yeah. You guys don't forget that. But I mean, you know, you could do a full bar and show off like that, but I think a signature cocktail, and since you said they're more chocolate this year than in years past, do a chocolatini, which is a chocolate martini. Do it a sexy martini glass, a little bit of your favorite chocolate liqueur, a little bit of rum, some simple syrup, and something that I know your moms have in their pantries, and use the evaporated milk, not the condensed milk that's sweet, but evaporated milk. You drizzle it inside the cup so there's a pool in the bottom. You pour just a teeny bit of that chocolate liqueur in so you're starting to get a stratified layers, and then you splash the alcohol of your choice in and serve it that way. Let them stir it, and you will, I guarantee it, that they will squeal when they get that glass.
Yeah.
Thank you once again, Shay Montier. Make sure you go to WCLK.com to get those amazing suggestions and information regarding his love, food, fashion, Valentine's Day pop-up at Bloomingdale's. That was Back to My Roots from drag superstar RuPaul, and a great introduction to my last guest, celebrity hairstylist Miko Branch. The co-founder of the Miss Jessie's brand is on a nationwide tour promoting the paperback release of her book, Miss Jessie's, Creating a Successful Business from Scratch, Naturally. She stopped by the Upfront Studios to chat about her amazing story and give some sound advice to budding entrepreneurs. Because this is also Black History Month, Branch and I also discuss iconic African-American hairstyles and the celebrity who wore them best.
Well, good morning, Miko, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
Hey, Ray. I'm doing great.
Yeah?
Yeah, Black History Month. I'm here in Atlanta, so I'm good.
Yeah? You are a very busy woman. You are promoting your book, which is going to be the paperback release of your book. It is entitled Miss Jessie's Creating Successful Business from Scratch, Naturally.
Yes, I've been very busy. This book is actually a national bestseller. I'm so proud of it. It's the book that I wrote together with my sister Titi Branch, and out in paperback on Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Now, before we go into that, let's start from the very, very beginning. Miss Jessie's is a brand that we all know and love. Whenever you see those big, bold red bags with that black lettering on the outside of it, you automatically know your brand. So let's start from the very beginning, the inspiration behind it and how you all got started.
So many inspirations behind the Miss Jessie's brand. My sister Titi and I didn't have any formal business training and no real formal mentors, but we actually did have mentors. And the inspiration for Miss Jessie's actually came from a lot of our family members. One, namely our grandmother, Miss Jessie Mae Branch. She was a wonderful cook. She actually ruled our family from her kitchen table. And my sister Titi and I sat around her during the summer, and we watched her cook everything from her own cake mix to her own stuffing and so on. She just made everything from scratch. So when it came time for my sister Titi and I to create our own product, before there were Miss Jessie's and Target, Walmart, and Walgreens, we actually referenced our grandmother, Miss Jessie. And of course, our father was a very, very strong figure in our mind. He helped develop our desire to become entrepreneurs. He came from the civil rights era, thought it was really important that we be independent, and then also our own personal experiences. So when you see Miss Jessie's, you see a little bit of all of us in our family.
Yeah. Now, when did you and your sister know that, wow, we've got something here? This is not just something that we're kind of doing in the background, you know, while we have our other jobs, but this is definitely our way to, you know, having our own and being our own bosses.
There were a few telltale signs for us. I believe that instantly when I came downstairs, Ray, I used to do hair. Titi and I used to do hair in our house in our brownstone in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. And I was a single parent. I was giving my son baths on the fourth floor, and I had to come downstairs to the second floor to do hair. Wow. I could no longer keep my hair styled straight because he splashed around during bath time. And when I came downstairs to do hair, my hair was shrunk up because I have, you know, my background, my dad is African American, so my hair shrinks up when the water hits it. But that actually started a conversation with our clients, and it is. That was the moment that I understood that this is an opportunity. I better jump on it. The mortgage was due. We had just experienced a failed business, and we had to actually refuge to our house. So that was like the first moment that I knew we had something. Okay. And then that was on salon level. And then after, with product level, there was a time when we couldn't make the product fast enough. The orders were coming in, and our backs were hurting. So we knew, wow, this is something more than just a product to help us at the salon.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the book, because it's sort of a part memoir, part Ayanla Fix My Life kind of situation, part inspiration, tips on how to start a business. So let's talk about the book a little bit.
So Titi and I decided that it was important that we share our knowledge. By 2013, it was very clear to us that we were expert at making curly pudding. We were expert at giving hair tips and providing hair solutions. But we realized, Ray, that we had another product, and that product was called knowledge. And along the way, while we were giving prescriptions for hair advice, many people asked us how we did it. And particularly during a time in social media, or during a time when we look in the media, we see many of us, particularly women, black women, fighting. We thought that it was really important for us to level out that playing field and demonstrate that we're not all fighting. You know, we tend to be very supportive of one another. And there's a lot of Titi and Mikos out here who are good at something. And sometimes we just need to see someone do it, and then it sparks something in us. So by 2015, because it took us around a year, it's maybe a year and change, maybe close to 2 years, we had our book in hand. So it was important for us to share. Each one can teach one, as we see.
Yeah. Now, what are some of the common mistakes that you find that most entrepreneurs or individuals that are sort of starting out their new business that they sort of run into? What are some of the stumbling blocks that you find when trying to start a new business?
I find being an entrepreneur has a lot to do with the mental state of mind, and I find you have to be really, really protective of what your mind takes in. So you got to keep the negativity out. And sometimes negativity comes in the form of support from others. But actually, you have to be really, really careful of your own thoughts and your own negativity and your own fears. So being an entrepreneur, trying to embark in that area can be a little scary, a little frightening. So I would say, you know, if you can, try to remove fear, because if it sets in, it can be paralyzing. And I think the fear that you have to be most mindful of is the fear that you may have in yourself, and it'll creep up on you when you don't even know. Yeah. So by the time you get naysayers that are outside of yourself, you already have that courage to tell them to just kind of stay out of it, because you're doing something real important.
Yeah. We're listening to the voice of Miko Branch, who is the founder or co-founder of Miss Jessie's Products, as well as the book Miss Jessie's Creating a Successful Business from Scratch Naturally. So since this is February and Black History Month, I sort of wanted to kind of go through our history as African Americans and our hairstyles. I had to ask, and I had to throw this in there, the different iconic hairstyles that we've had over 50 years now. Right. It was funny because I created this list with a really good friend of mine, Rose Scott, who's over at WABE, and we came up with at least 25 different hairstyles. So I want to kind of go over these with you, and we can discuss these. I wanted to start off with, let's see, because there's a lot here.
This is a long list.
It is a long list. But I wanted to start off, you're right, wanted to start off with the high top fade.
Oh, wow. So the High Top Fade came out when I was in my, I think, early 20s, late teens, Kid in Play.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Big Daddy Kane.
Big
you've
Daddy
got
Kane.
Grace Jones.
Yes.
And to me, the High Top Fade, what was so wonderful about it was it was a symbol, really, of hip hop.
Yep.
That as that music was coming out, you had more and more people wearing that particular hairstyle.
The Gumby. And,
yeah.
The Gumby. But it wasn't fresh unless you had the parts,
yeah.
right? Parts, yeah. You needed
yeah.
a part with it.
Yeah, and you had to have the parts and the eyebrows, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
So another hairstyle, let's see here. Finger waves.
Finger waves. I know that we saw Josephine Baker wear them back in the day, but yeah. Around the time of the High Top Fade, we had Salt and Pepper.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit later. Salt and Pepper rock finger waves. Very, very fresh in New York City. Everyone had fingers, but it was so hard. Actually, you can't graduate from hair school in New York unless you know how to do finger waves. So that's
wow.
part of the state exam.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And when we were putting the list together, we said that finger waves was a hairstyle that anyone in any community could get that style.
I believe so. I mean, it's certainly hard. It feels like a helmet, but yeah, anyone can get it if you have gel and if you have hair that's going to lay down, it'll do what it's supposed to do. But I wonder what it would be like to try to finger wave natural hair.
Yeah, well, that might be a challenge.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. The curl. Everyone had a Carefree Curl, Jerry Curl.
California Curl. Yeah. Yes. Actually, part of my growing up, my generation, in the 80s, maybe late 70s, Michael Jackson,
right.
Ola Ray.
Right.
Jerry Curl was very big. And, you know, it was a wonderful way for us to experiment with full style, voluminous style. But it was a new phenomenon because we had never seen, that was like kind of the first introduction to curl for us.
Yeah.
It was a double process, actually, Ray. You had to straighten your hair and then you had to put rods in it. And I don't know if you've ever smelled
oh, yeah.
a Jerry curl being done, but it'll run you out, it'll run you out of any room because
yeah.
it smells like
yeah,
eggs,
it was,
right?
It was really, really strong. My brother's a hairstylist,
yes.
too, so it was really, really strong. And it was one of those hairstyles that everyone had back in the early 80s. Everyone was trying to emulate Michael Jackson. You kind of had the baby hair thing going
oh,
on
God.
In the front. And then it became sort of this iconic thing because remembering Coming to America, you had the family that were, they owned Soul Glow, the hair product.
Soul Glow. Yes.
So it was,
you just can't lean your head up against anything, yeah. right? Glass, your imprint yeah. is there forever. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. The ball head. Now, this has nothing to do with hair, but in
yeah,
a sense,
no, that
yeah.
was a style. I believe it was in the 90s. Most men,
yeah,
many men were rocking
yeah.
ball head. We saw it a lot in hip hop. We saw a lot of actors. But I'm sure, like in terms of maintenance, that was a great way to just take it all off
yeah.
and keep going.
Yeah.
yeah.
Famous faces, Michael Jordan, Montel Williams, Isaac Hayes.
Yes.
To me, it was almost a symbol of black male masculinity, too, because when you thought of a guy with the ball head, he was just
Manzinga.
Hyper. Yeah, yeah. He was just hyper masculine guy. So, and then our number one pick was the weave.
Well, the weave, you know, when the weave first came out, I mean, I think the weave came out around the time of the beginning of the video age.
Okay.
Am I right?
I think so.
A lot of the videos.
I think so.
And at first, the weave, you didn't want to tell anyone that you had a weave. It was almost like a no-no to let anyone know you had one. But the weave actually over time became known as also protective styling. I mean, you could braid your hair under and put the wear and tear on someone else's hair.
Yeah.
I mean, from time to time, I too wear extensions and weaves. It's a play. It's a fun way to just switch it up, but also a great way to just do damage on someone else's hair, not your own. But the weave has evolved in so many ways. We've had glue-ins, we've
yeah.
had sew-ins,
yeah.
we have closures now. So
yeah.
we've gotten really creative with it over time.
And we thought the weave was number one because we could remember was Diana Ross in Central Park.
Oh my God!
And how that hair withstood the wind and the rain and all the elements that day, and she still looked fabulous to continue doing that show. So
my sister yeah. Titi, she was actually at the concert, and that was a big deal in New York. It was in Central Park.
Yeah.
And Diana, the diva that she is, she really held that down.
Yeah. All right, Miko, thank you so much for being a guest on today's show, and we wish you much success.
to see more of those iconic hairstyles that we were talking about, you can definitely check that out at WCLK.com. And how can our listeners continue to follow you and support you, Miko?
I am on social media. I'm on Instagram and Twitter. I'm simply Miko Branch, MikoBranch. And then, of course, there's Miss Jessie's, our company, MISS_JESSIES.
All right.
On Instagram and Twitter and Facebook.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd really like to thank my guests, Jere Brion Holder, Chef Juan Montier of Chez Montier, Dr. Courtney and Janice Shelton, and Miko Branch. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and you. Please join us next Saturday, February 18th at 9 a.m. for another exciting edition of Upfront. You can also keep up with me during the week at raycornelius.com and on Facebook and Instagram under Ray Cornelius. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, has been brought to you by Atlanta's jazz station, 91.9 FM WCLK, and NPR member-supported station.